wild bull, and died. While laying siege to Ravenna, Belisarius received from Justinian in Constantinople a signed treaty of peace contracted with the Goths without the knowledge of the victorious general.
By this disgraceful and precarious agreement, Italy and the Gothic treasure were divided, and the provinces beyond the Po were left with a regal title to the successor of Theodoric. The ambassadors were eager to accomplish their salutary commission. The captive Vitiges accepted with transport the unexpected offer of a crown. Honor was less prevalent among the Goths than the want and appetite of food, and the Roman chiefs, who murmured at the continuance of the war, professed implicit submission to the commands of the emperor. If Belisarius had possessed only the courage of a soldier, the laurel would have been snatched from his hands by timid and envious counsels. But in this decisive moment he resolved, with the magnanimity of a statesman, to sustain alone the danger and merit of generous disobedience. Each of his officers gave a written opinion that the siege of Ravenna was impracticable and hopeless. The general then rejected the treaty of partition and declared his own resolution of leading Vitiges in chains to the feet of Justinian. The Goths retired with doubt and dismay. This peremptory refusal deprived them of the only signature which they could trust, and filled their minds with a just apprehension that a sagacious enemy had discovered the full extent of their deplorable state. They compared the fame and fortune of Belisarius with the weakness of their ill-fated king, and the comparison suggested an extraordinary project, to which Vitiges, with apparent resignation, was compelled to acquiesce. Partition would ruin the strength, exile would disgrace the honour of the nation. But they offered their arms, their treasures, and the fortifications of Ravenna, if Belisarius would disclaim the authority of a master, accept the choice of the Goths, and assume, as he had deserved, the kingdom of Italy. The day of the surrender of Ravenna was stipulated by the Gothic ambassadors. A fleet, laden with provisions, sailed as a welcome guest into the deepest recess of the harbour. The gates were opened to the fancied king of Italy, and Belisarius, without meeting an enemy, triumphantly marched through the streets of an impregnable city. The Romans were astonished by their success. The multitudes of tall and robust barbarians were confounded by the image of their own patience. And the masculine females, spitting in the faces of their sons and husbands, most bitterly reproached them for betraying their dominion and freedom to these pygmies of the south, contemptible in their numbers, diminutive in their stature. Before the Goths could recover from the first surprise and claim the accomplishment of their doubtful hopes, the victor established his power in Ravenna beyond the danger of repentance and revolt. Vitiges, who perhaps had attempted to escape, was honorably guarded in his palace. The flower of the Gothic youth was selected for the service of the emperor. The remainder of the people was dismissed to their peaceful habitations in the southern provinces, and a colony of Italians was invited to replenish the depopulated city.
If Belisarius was fortunate in war, he most certainly was cursed in love, in his marriage to Antonina.
The generous reader may cast away the libel, but the evidence of facts will adhere to his memory, and he will reluctantly confess that the fame and even the virtue of Belisarius were polluted by the lust and cruelty of his wife, and that the hero deserved an appellation which may not drop from the pen of the decent historian. The mother of Antonina was a theatrical prostitute, and both her father and grandfather exercised, at Thessalonica and Constantinople, the vile though lucrative profession of charioteers. In the various situations of their fortune, she became the companion, the enemy, the servant, and the favorite of the Empress Theodora. These loose and ambitious females had been connected by similar pleasures. They were separated by the jealousy of vice, and at length reconciled by the partnership of guilt. Before her marriage with Belisarius, Antonina had one husband and many lovers. Photius, the son of her former nuptials, was of an age to distinguish himself at the siege of Naples, and it was not till the autumn of her age and beauty that she indulged a scandalous attachment to a Thracian youth. Theodosius had been educated in the Eunomian heresy. The African voyage was consecrated by the baptism and auspices.